Kufman. We did Sif Gimel. We started the Mishaburas, holding Mishaburas of Cotton Tess. About two lines in. Let's just pick up from the beginning of that Sif Cotton again, just to make it easier. So here's a scenario. The scenario which we're talking about was a person who got an aliyah. They showed him where they're planning to read.
Sorry, what's
in Kufman. And he made a bracha, and they realized that they showed him the wrong place. So now the question is, does he need to make a new bracha when they move to the new place? Does he need to make a new bracha or not? So the Mechaber brought two opinions. And the second opinion is that you have to make a new bracha. We pass on like that second opinion. So V'yeshem and Shitzar, the second opinion says that since he made the bracha thinking about place number one in the Torah, and truthfully they were supposed to make the, but really what they showed him was not that place. They showed him the wrong place. So he thought he's reading where they showed him, and then it turned out they're supposed to read somewhere else. So he made a bracha about the first place, and now we move to the second place to read, so he has to make a new bracha. Yishim HaSatzarach Lavorach Kishikar is a parsha real grace. The this opinion holds. His intent was on that spot which they showed him. Therefore, you have to make a new bracha on the new place. We pass on like this opinion that you make a new bracha. So we did point out you don't say bracha again. You already said bracha. You would say the bracha of Asher Bracha Bonim again. It doesn't make a difference whether it's in a different parsha or not. As long as you have to roll the Sefer Torah to get to it. You would have to go back and make a new bracha. He doesn't intend to make a bracha on that which has not been opened in the Sefer in front of him. Okay, now, I'm skipping the brackets for a second. The imparsha zu haruya loy vikrois hoyigam ken megula lefana beisha haruya hamakam harishin. So they opened up the Sefer Torah, opened up three columns. They showed them in the first column, and truthfully, the correct place to read was in the third column. But the third column was also open. In that situation, you do not need to make a new bracha. He's looking at these three columns and making a bracha about the Rosh Hashanah, these three, the Torah, simply seeing what's in front of him. Now, the three columns which are open, they showed him in the first column, which is from last week's parsha still. And we're supposed to read this week's parsha. So they showed him the wrong parsha, the wrong sidra. Kim shagam miseder shel shua zu megula lefanav. Daitel kol mashe megula. Okay. So therefore, his intent was including the what's in front of him. So in that situation, if it's been opened, to include that space that place as well, you do not need to make another bracha. Even if it's in a different column, we assume that his intent is everything which is open. They showed him low, it was supposed to be high. They showed him high, it was supposed to be low. As long as you don't have to roll, it's open there. Even he's looking at the bottom of the column, we say his intent was on the top of the column as well. If they showed him down below, and really, we're supposed to start from further up, which means earlier on. Then they go back to the right place. In that situation, if he's looking at the bottom of the column, so they showed him. And really, you're supposed to start from the top of the column. So you go back to the top of the column, you read. But normally, the aliyah would end before the end of the column. But since he looked at that part, and he had intent for that part as well, it would be appropriate for him to read from that which they showed him. So in that situation, you would continue reading for that aliyah, for that person, into the part place which is showed as well.
So what if it's Monday or Thursday, and they show the coin, the last pasuk in the writing for that day?
So that situation, you probably would not, make him, he would go back to the right place. Without assuming it was open, there'd be no new bracha, and he would read just pashas. He would read the history psukim. Maybe not read more. He's going other things that's more relevant for Shabbos. Now let's go back to the brackets which we skipped. You know, it's a complicated thing. I'm not going to go back for it now. We'll start something new in a moment. Just wait for that, okay? So in a situation where they, we said that it doesn't make a difference. He said that the mistake was from a different parsha to this parsha, the mistake was in this parsha to somewhere else in this parsha, but it wasn't opened. So that'll be a problem. Now, v'hamekel shalolachzor levorich v'imhoya mokim sherele v'oys seder shal shuazul. After Sarach Ligo mi mokum la mokum, ein mechim beyodu, di eshal mar lismach. He comes along and says like this. The person knows where we're letting parshas vayigash. So he knows which aliyah parshas is not really so focused. He knows we're supposed to be letting parshas vayigash. Really, he's supposed to be getting the sixth aliyah parshas vayigash, and they show him, where it's earlier on. But he knows it's the right parsha, and they showed him parshas vayigash. So he made a bracha on parshas vayigash. It wasn't open, but that doesn't make a difference. This was this opinion also, because his das was for that specific thing. So, similar to what I told you for Ramosha. Ramosha said, in a case where a person was, in the case where there was a Yom Tov and there was two Sefer Torah, the second Sefer Torah was to be them for them was to be them after. We're supposed to be talking about that day. So he knew what he's supposed to be reading. He's supposed to be reading about the Shemini Atzeres. So even though they showed him somewhere else, and they made a bracha on somewhere else. His kavana wasn't on where they showed him. His kavana was on Shemini Atzeres. So they realized they showed him the wrong spot and they have to roll to get the Shemini Atzeres. Fine, so they would not need a new bracha in that case. Because over there, it wasn't. The assumption over here is it was saying he's not so familiar with what he's. They showed him that he has das to make a bracha where they showed him. Right? But in a case where a person is getting a very specific aliyah, which is clearly about the Yom Tov, and he knows which is. I'm sorry. I thought this was Pesach today. Really? I mean, it's Shemini Atzeres. You know Shemini Atzeres. You know what you're reading. You've been called up to read for. So your das is on that trio. So even though they showed you the wrong place, even if you have to roll, Ramosh shows you would not make a new bracha. So similar to that idea is what the Mishnah Berurah is saying now. if he knows what sedra it is, and they showed him somewhere in the sedra. Right? So even though it's the wrong place in the sedra, but that even though you have to roll, you're not needing a bracha. So that Mishnah Berurah says, even though he holds Iker Pesach is not like that, because you're not so familiar exactly what part of the sedra, etc. But a person who would not make a bracha in the situation, we can't say that he's wrong. Okay. Simon Kufman Malav.
What?
Okay, let's see, we're starting something new. We'll focus on this one, okay? Simen kumim al dinei kara v'makra. The lochas of the orla and the person who's being makra to him. Sarach likris moment, Aleph. You have to read the Sefer Torah standing. Fil dismach atzma l'kaisa ala omer is asr. He should not be supporting himself. He has to be standing because of the covenant of the Sefer, he should be standing. Mr. Burrow will bring a pasuk for that. So it's Osir. Eliam Kane, who bal boss, unless a person is very, it's difficult for him to stand. He needs the support. A person who's ill, a person who's old. I go over here and a curry, Tzarech Lamed Imakari. And the person who's reading the Chazan Akari, which we call the the Balkare also has to stand. So the readers have to stand. We'll talk about the listeners. We'll get to the listeners. But right now we're talking about the readers. So cut now. Tzarech Likras Mu'umin. A Kriya Shekarim B'tzibur. When you read B'tzibur, the Kriya has to be done standing. If you don't receive, V'atopo Amodi Modi. Rosh tells Moshe that you should stand with me. So Rosh says you should stand with me. Means I'm standing. Rosh is giving the Torah. He's standing. Rosh Rabbeinu is standing with him. So the one who's giving over the Torah is standing. Mashra afil Hashem Yisborach Hamakar LaMoshe Hoya Oimid Kavayochol. We don't. Rosh doesn't stand or sit. But the Torah uses the language of a midah to indicate that this is how you give over Torah. And obviously, Klal Yisrael were listening, they were also standing. So it has to be the way we read the Torah is Be'ema. Which means part of the, you do something which you're awestruck. You're not just lounging around. You're standing there in respect. This is not Ma'akev B'diyevet. It's a chiv that you have to do, but you're not. It doesn't affect the kriya.
I imagine a more convincing proof would have been from what Am Yisrael was doing at the time that Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching. When Hashem is talking, obviously they're going to stand. It says Yiras Hashem. But
what time did it start? Just 7:35.
But if they were standing when Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching, that says you have to stand when learning the Torah.
Well, you're right. It's a good, but we don't have a pasuk what they did.
Right.
So we can't use that as a convincing argument. But the issue over here is not so much the listeners. It's much more the issue over here is the speaker, because the Orla and the Makra really are the speakers. Right. Mm-hmm. So. So you'd have to put what Moshe was doing, he was teaching, more than what they were doing. So I feel this about, so Hannah feel a smicha ksas, she may not always a double lo yipo, gamke nosser, the sarach lamed be'ema. So now we define a smicha, which is considered the equivalent of a sitting, is that you're leaning on your support so strongly that without the support you would fall. A person's leaning, so if they take away the support at that moment, he would fall. Sometimes a person is not leaning like that. He's just, you know, leaning lightly, and even if they would take it away, he'd still be able to stand. Even that is not, but still not, that's lacking in the emo. It's lacking in doing it with the proper respect. So therefore, the chatchila, when the person has to stand, even without, even a minimal smicha is not proper. So overusing the word omid doesn't mean, it's referring to the shulchan, the bima, we call it the bima. So persons, you know, sometimes people personally leave, they lean on the beam a little bit. They should not do so. Elam keno bal baser, unless the person is heavy. It's difficult for him to stand. Who adin mechar lo zaken, harbe, a person who's ill or elderly. Shekosh lo amida b'li smicha, it's difficult for him to stand for a long period of time without some type of support. Ach, even they, he should go down. We're going to allow the minimal smicha, but not the full smicha, where a person is totally supported, that if the support is taken away, he'll fall. That you shouldn't do. If he needs that as well, he needs support. It's also mutter. However, so we're going to see later on that the covering which is placed on the bima, the mapa, is there to be mishamash the sefer Torah. You cannot benefit from it, so you're not allowed to lean on it. The shulchan, since it is covered by the mapa, so it doesn't come in direct contact with the sefer Torah. The shulchan has the din of a tashmish, the tashmish of a kedusha. So the mapa is a tashmish kedusha, and the shulchan is a tashmish to tashmish. So the shulchan, you're allowed to. So if a person needs to lean, what they do is they should lift up the mapa and lean directly on the bima itself, as opposed to leaning on the mappa.
Based on that, are you allowed to put things on the bima? I've seen, like, let's even discuss Sfarim. Like, put a Chumash there or something like that. I mean, if it's a Tashma to Kedusha, Chumash is not on the level of the Sefer Torah. Are you allowed to do that?
The simple answer is that you should not be allowed to. The only heter you have is you have to say there was some type of tanai when they designated originally that if it's common for people here to put other things there, so they had in mind they're not being miyachad only for the sefer Torah. Can you make the tanai to allow you to lean in it also? It's possible. I think Mr. Brewer will discuss it later on. I guess those halachas. He doesn't sound too convinced that you're allowed to, because that's, you know, it's one thing to miyachad for others.
I see a lot of things that, I mean, I've seen people put their jackets on a bima, things like that. And I didn't know the halacha, but it just looked, it made me feel uncomfortable to see that.
Good.
It just didn't look right.
Yeah, and not only does it not look right, it's raw, it's not right either.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry, were you talking about putting what kind of things?
Like a jacket.
I've seen people, they go to shir,
and they're in a shul, and there's a bima there, and they want to make themselves a little bit more comfortable. There's nothing wrong. They can want your jacket. I don't wear a jacket too much either.
I didn't understand.
But I'm saying to put it on the bima, it just looks strange right to me.
Okay.
But I've seen it.
Unless it's the Bekesha.
Maybe Shrimal.
Bekesha. Kedah Kasim. Okay. So the loch is... Okay. Okay. So this is true both by the Ole and also by the Balkare. Within Askan, Shemini Tzal Sefer Torah, the Gabai who's there also can't be leaning. Oy Kazer Shom. So the Shai Ephraim addresses the following question: Pomim Shas Sefer Torah Aruchu Gedola Harbe. You're very tall Sefer Torah. The Tekari has to read the words. And the Oyla, who has to read from the Sefer Torah. And the Oyla, who has to read from the Sefer Torah. They have to lean on the Sefer Torah. They have to lean up to be able to see what, you know, they have to lean forward to be able to see the top of the Amud. What is that? Boli they smicha la shulchan, and they end up leaning against the shulchan. Yesh lahata, that's mutter. Shirei near the kol shein smicha zuderech kai. He's not doing it because he's using the shulchan for his own purposes. Shizel kashoy made zokel v'samuch. So he's could stand up straight, and it's close by to him, and still he chooses to lean. So what are you doing? You're just relaxing by the bima. That's not acceptable. But over here, I was at Kesharim Mutzav V'Chafuf. He's like forced to bend. Amida Be'ema Hu B'Yachol Lamed Samach. So he can do is whatever he that's clear to people that he's doing it for the cover of the Sefer Torah. So that's not a problem. Okay. Similarly, the case of the Gabbai. Shall pi roiv abadosu hu shu oiches biyad osim ikesev laharis thnei akari be'ezer shur v'teva shu aminata. So apparently the Gabbai would point to the word and the Kari would read it. Instead of what we have many people that the Kari points, but rather the Gabbai would point. So he needs to lean as well. He has to lean over onto the shulchan. So mutter, that's mutter. Ach yezoyer, but in these scenarios, sha'achar sheyikra hashura salyonis mirosh ha'omid, as you move down the omid, you're not reading all the way from the top. When you get b'chatzi omid or karvoy, you get closer, further down. Shef shaladiris v'heite b'lismicha, where there he can see well without leaning. Yizkav mishkiyosoy k'nesho yisarach liyos samach klal. I can't the word. So he says, in that situation, it's incumbent upon you to straighten up. Your heter is to lean when it's necessary, but it's not necessary. You have no heter to lean. So in that situation, you would have to. It's even more than that. That when you have no need, you shouldn't be leaning. But furthermore, the reason why you're allowed to lean is because it's obvious that you're doing it for a valid purpose. But if you're leaning even when it's closer to you, so then the whole thing becomes problematic. So we need you to be aware of that and straighten out that point.
So what was the statement, Shazel, She'omed Zakut Someh as the Samuch?
The gaiva is an issue when you're standing straight and you're leaning. You're not bending over because you don't need to bend over. But you're just leaning because you feel like you're using the shulchan for your support.
I see.
But as opposed to over here, you're bending over, it's clear you're bending over because you're trying to read something.
I like the idea of having the gabbai point the place, then he can control the pace of the reading.
That's,
as long as he doesn't go too fast.
Right. Okay.
Get myself in trouble.
Well, Yikru Shnayim.
Was it okay that he leaned on?
A case where he has to read from the top, and it's very hard to read without leaning. Beis, Lo Yikru, either the Balkari and the Oila, both of them. Lo Yikru Shnayim. You should not have both reading out loud. Elo Oila Kare. Either the Oila will read and the Balkari will be there just for support in case he makes a mistake, or the Shlich Tzibur will read out loud and the Oila will read with him quietly. He does need to read along, because otherwise he's making a bracha and they're not reading. That's improper. He has to read very gently, very quietly, even to the point that he himself would not hear it. Zok the Ramah, however, Vafilu Mashmir Lozna Blekal Mechash, Loyalak Mitfila Kalil Basim Kufal. The Ramah says, no, there's no need to read it that quietly that you can't hear yourself. You read it loud enough that you can hear it, but you should not read it louder than that, because then you have the problem. The rule is that when two people read together, the listeners can't hear. So by reading, if the Arla is reading it out loud together with the Kare, that other people will hear it. He's undermining their fulfilling the din of Kriya Satara, because they can't be Yartzei when two people are reading together. So you, by reading out loud with the Balkare, the Arla reads out loud with the Balkare, he's undermining people's fulfillment of the hearing the Kriya. So he has to read it quietly.
Who instituted Kriya Satara? Moshe Rabbeinu or Ezra Soka?
Moshe Rabbeinu introduced Monday morning, Thursday morning, Shabbos morning, and Ezra added Shabbos afternoon.
Ezra added Shabbos afternoon, Menchot.
Correct.
It's interesting, the Mechaber here actually indicates the possibility of the Chazan reading as opposed to the Ola.
He mentioned it before also.
Oh.
This idea. Okay. Let's see, Mishabur. Vav, Yikru Shnayim, Tzrekolo L'Mishabur. We have a rule that you can't hear two voices at the same time. Mm-hmm. It undermines each one of them. Shliach Tzibur Shoysik. So what's a Shliach Tzibur there for if the Oila is reading? Miu, ima Oila, b'toya b'dekudus, b'tomim, seyo b'lachash. His job is, if the Oila makes a mistake, he'll correct them. He'll do that quietly.
You have to correct somebody if they make a mistake with trouble?
We'll find out. It's coming up. Okay.
It's where?
Okay. A Shliach Tzibur Kare. So the second example the Mechaber gives is that the Balkari reads and the Arla reads along quietly. Nowadays, even if the Arla himself is somebody who's an expert at reading, but he's not the Balkari right now, the Balkari reads, not him. Because even though you can read, the next I can't read, and it won't be embarrassing for you, it'll be very, very embarrassing for him. We'll have the opposite. People think they know how to read, and they don't. And you'll have to be forced to listen to these people who don't know what they're doing, thinking that they're reading properly. So if these people will read, people will not be yotze. if you prevent them from reading, they're going to fight. So you say, you know what? Nobody ever reads, just the Balkar. Fine. So we removed a lot of the potential for arguments. So he would read, but the Bita Orla has to read with the Sheikh Sibur. Hanu B'techa Ksav from the Sefer Torah. Otherwise, it's Levatola. The Mistabra Shivorach Orla Al Kriyas Shliach Sibur. You're not making a bracha on what the other person's reading, you're making a bracha on what you're reading. So you have to read. You should do it quietly, benachas. The trekol of Shavuot, because we have a problem again that there's you can't hear two voices at one time. So Mishavur says the trekol of Shavuot lo shayachi kiim kishbekari bekol rab. That's if you're saying it out loud. So people hear two voices, and they can't distinctly hear either of them. But if one is reading out loud, and one is reading quietly. So is that a problem? Now the Shulchan Aruch says you would say it, read it so quietly. Shal Yeshmi Lozno. I'm here to say beside the Zemi Misaver Zara. He brings in the Zara that the Zara says you should read it very quietly. And Rambam says no. Afilu Mashmi, you're allowed to read loud enough that you can hear. But Shalom after Zot Yerusha Toiv Shal Yeshmi Lozno. Come on, Yeshmi Gam Kein Leke Lemeichah. Even though I agree that it would be preferable to do like the Zara. But it's not. Problematic if you do read out loud. Just like we have by tefila, it has to be quietly. But we say saying it out loud for your own ears to hear and not others is called acceptable. So it's actually a chiyuv to do that. So here over here as well.
But here he's saying it's like really it's preferable. He's understanding the Ramah is saying preferable. Preferable not even to be mashmi lasnov.
Correct.
Interesting.
Right.
I mean, it's not. It's only nogea for those places where the ole is, you know, like going to mechaber shita.
Okay. Okay. Gimel. Track of time.
Five?
I think so.
It's right at least twice a day.
Thank you. So in the Shulchan Aruch approach, which they would have the Orla actually reading, you would have somebody who was going to be makra to him. So you don't do it at the same time. You do one after the other. So the Orla will actually read out loud for the Tzibur. Somebody else is saying the words to him. Since we have no isha lein levash mishen who's not a balking, because everybody will get this treatment. Some people will not need it, and some people will need it. And that's how they've addressed the problem.
Who?
The Shulchan Aruch is addressing the problem that way. Baruch Shagarmer, Yudalit. Ratzalaymar, the kiman shein armer mishneim abasachas like the mechush the trekola mishter moy. The whole issur of trekola mishter moy you do it simultaneously. But over here, the balkari says the word, and then the arla says the word. The balkari says the word, and the arla says the word. So you would, or the phrase, let's say, they would do it like that. So the arla would say out loud, but it's not trekola mishter moy because they're not at the same time.
So basically, you're hearing the laning twice.
Correct. Pasha, in that situation, I don't think that the Balkar would have to necessarily say it so loud. He could say it loud enough that the Oiler would hear it.
But he's still taking the time because he's reading it for the.
Yeah, time-wise.
The one who got called up, he needs to hear that, otherwise he doesn't know what to say.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that big, yeah.
Okay. Now, I just want to go back to one point. So the Shulchan Aruch clearly says, you know, we would like the Arla to read. Either we're going to have the Arla read, and the Sheikh, the Balkari will be there for support when necessary. He will automatically four lane for him. He will, you know, give him the words beforehand. But he does mention another option of the Balkari saying out loud and the Arla reading along. But he says that there's no option of the Balkari reading out loud and him being quiet because it's a bracha levatol, right? We mentioned before that this is the issue which we had before of giving an aliyah to an Amoritz who has difficulty reading along with the Balkare,
right.
Or a Summa, a person who can't read along with the Balkare because he can't read inside. He even knows the Balpeh, but it's not enough to say it Balpeh. You have to say it from inside the Ksav. So according to Mechaber, you can't give the aliyah to an Amoritz or to a Summa. Rambam said that he brought from the Marmorenberg that we would give an aliyah to a person who's a Summa or a person who's an Amoritz. And they rely on Shemei Ka'ina. So even though they themselves are not proficient enough to read along, but the Balkari is reading, it's like they're reading because Shemei Ka'ina. So they rely on Shemei Ka'ina. According to that, it will not be a bracha levatol if you don't read along. So that's what Shemei Ka'ina says, it's a bracha levatol issue, because that's the shitosai that he holds, and that's not an option. And the Orla must be reading in some way. So according to him, if you don't read along, it's a bracha levatol. But according to the Ramah, it's not a bracha levatol. That's the first biraloch over here. Points that out. I'm sort of condensing what he says, but that's the first point. Let's hop one more sip over here. In Mashiach Tzibur Roi, so the Vorek La'atzmai Malik Reis, Tzach Shiyam Akher Etzloi. So even he's getting an aliyah, we're giving an aliyah to the Balkar, right? Which he can do. But we have to have somebody else there as well. Why? So I understand that when you have an island and the makra, the Sheikh Tzibur, so you have two people there. Well, why do you need another person there when he's reading, he's getting the aliyah? Sheikh Hashem, Sheikh Torah, Ayyade Sarsar, Kachon Rashicham, Linagbo, Ayyade Sarsar. The Torah was given to Klal Yisrael through a medium, it was given through an individual in the middle, through Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Kriya Satar, which we have, which is the equivalent as the words of Kadosh Baruch Hu being given over to Klal Yisrael, there has to be a Madaber, like a Kadosh Baruch Hu was the Madaber, and there's a Sarsar, the individual in between, who was like sort of accepting it and passing it on to Klal Yisrael. Okay. He was in between. So that's what a sarsar. Sarsar was a wholesaler. So he'd be between the suppliers and the consumer. Or be a retail also, but he was the businessman in between. So he was in between the suppliers and the consumer. He's in between. So Moshe Rabbeinu was in between. Now, so our minhag is that we have three people there. The Shulchan Aruch only mentions two. You have the makra, the sheikh, the balkare, and you have the oile. Because really, our minhag is to have a third one also. Minhag is to have the gabai there. That can either be the gabai, the standard gabai, or what they would do in many shuls is, I don't know if any of you witnesses, that it's much more relevant on a Monday and a Thursday, but they don't sell it separate aliyahs. They sell certain shuls. Every time there's Kriya Satara, they sell aliyahs, including every Monday and Thursday. But they don't sell separate. They call mitzvahs. The person who purchases all the mitzvahs. So the person who purchased it has a right to then apportion out the kayan, the levi, the Yisrael, the hagba, the galila, etc. He gives everything out. So he would stand by the bima and give everything out. So the gabi or the kaina would stand there. He's called the skan. Why do we do this? Keshiyah, Gimel, there'll be three. Now, what's the three? Because at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, there were three parties. There were Kadosh Baruch Hu, there was Klal Yisrael, and there was Moshe in between. So we're going to look at, there should be three parties represented. How is that? The Gabbai is representing Hashem. He gets to portion out who gets what. Let's say Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's the one who's acting as the vehicle to deliver it. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Arla is the recipient, like Klaisa was the recipient. So that's how we represent that, by having three individuals by the beam. Now, the Shemur does not mention a fourth. So a minute they have somebody stand on both sides. The Shemur does not mention that Bechlau. He has... I don't know what it's like in Tarvadas, but it tells, you know, I never saw a person sitting on the other side of the bima.
You never saw what?
A person sitting on the other side of the bima as of Gabbai until I came to Zibber's ring, you know.
Really?
Tells one that the Gabi instead of one, there's nobody on the second side.
So there was only one.
You need three people total, so.
So you had, there's a person getting an aliyah, he would stay there because the law is the person gets an aliyah, shouldn't
he
leave.
Stay totally.
Right, but same, but by the first, by Kayan, there was the Gabai, there was the Balkari, and there was the Kayan. There was nobody on the other side.
Oh.
I never saw it until I came. I was like, really? What the other guy doing on the other side? Mishra doesn't mention four people.
Yeah.
The Shulchan Atar, which is one of the Chassidish Gdarlim, who Sefer Shulchan Atar, he mentions that there should be four, and he brings him a car for the fourth. But in the Mishra Bura, it's only three. Let's hold it here. It's almost time for Mincha. So I'll pick up in the middle of this Mishra Bura. Tomorrow night, Bezalel Hashem will